on there, everyone. Welcome back to the Wake Up Show with Christopher D. Simone. You're on the Live the Dream Media Network. Remember, St. Patrick's Day party on Monday, 5:30 to 7:30. Please join us here. Email me at chris@ltdmedia.com, and I will send you your ticket link to get your tickets. And so I think I've landed on the name for this damn thing after all these years. It's Libertarian Power Hour is what I'm going to call it. And I wanted some rhyming here. So a powerful hour of libertarian talk with Peter Norquist. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chris.
And Ken Richings.
Good morning, Chris.
And one of you defeated Tara Ratliff in an arm wrestle, I heard.
She let me use two arms.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Barely won.
Well, we miss you today, Tara, believe it or not. So
she'll be back next month.
Okay. You guys are wonderful, though.
Thank you, Chris. So are you.
Thank you. It's the Mutual Admiration Hour. Love having you guys on, and you've definitely have added to my dimensions of thinking about education and different things. So always love our conversations. So.
Likewise.
Love having you here.
And we'd love to continue to hopefully blow your mind.
I love that. I love it. Let's talk about like a Frank Zappa song, Blow My Mind. So anyway.
Shameful plugs.
I have a paraphrase in my back pocket, which maybe I'll pull out later.
I love it.
A Zappa paraphrase.
So let's talk about, you guys wanted to get everyone excited about things. So you had announcements, which is amazing. So
yeah, we do.
Announcements.
Okay. Well, so for the Pima County Libertarian Party, we just like to usually make people aware of what we've got coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
Our third Thursday is always an outreach Thursday, and our fourth is movie night. So
when are you guys going to show Red Dawn?
Huh?
When are you guys going to show Red
Dawn?
Well,
this month, which we'll get to as soon as he finishes next week's plug, it's a good movie coming up this month. It'll probably top Red Dawn, and it might blow some people's minds.
Yes.
Wow.
But before we get to that, first I want to just tell everyone what will be happening on the 20th. So that's a week from this Thursday at our outreach meeting. We have one of our libertarians coming in named Catherine Kent, and she is going to be giving a talk on how to lower your electric bill. And so our outreach meetings are the meetings that we gear to the public. You know, not only do you not need to be a libertarian to come, we kind of prefer that you aren't. Because we want as many people to come to this particular meeting.
Absolutely.
And we figure this is a really practical, timely topic that people are going to be interested in. How to bring your electric bill down. Catherine herself works with solar power. She's actually a vendor. She's in the field and she knows quite a bit about this. And
Is this going to turn into a solar pitch?
I don't know. I can't promise that it won't.
You should have never told me
find
that
out
she
for
was
yourself.
She works in solar.
Well, it made me wonder if she came to libertarians from the left. You know, some people like Chase Oliver come from the far left, some people come from the right. In this town, we kind of tend to work with people more on the right, because Tucson is Tucson. But come for yourself and you can find out. And then movie night on the 27th, Climate, the movie, The Cold Truth, which maybe some of Chris's viewers have already seen. It's been online for a while.
You're saying that this is better than the original Red Dawn?
I didn't say it's better than the original Red Dawn.
Thank you.
I might have implied you might have a better time coming on the 27th. To 5546 East 4th Street.
Wow.
Commiserating with fellow free-minded people.
Love it.
That's on the 27th, yeah. And, like I say, libertarians, we like to work with people that are doing good work and are promoting liberty and are generally spending less of our money and less of our tax dollars. That's why we work with people like Sadie Shaw, who I don't think we work with her in an official capacity, but people like Peter and I and Tara are usually at TUSD board meetings, and libertarians outnumber Democrats and Republicans as far as audience members. So I'd like to invite Chris's audience. If only a few of you showed up, we would heavily outnumber the Democrats in the audience, not on the board.
Sure.
As you know, which is
absolutely.
And that board has a lock on three votes for sure. And Sadie is not one of them. So Sadie is someone who is quite open-minded and is quite, in our opinion, careful.
So switching out Raul's brat for Dan Ekstrom's brat hasn't changed anything?
No. Yeah. So Val Romero, independent, Sadie Shaw, hard left Democrat. They clearly are truly grassroots voices of the people in a way that I'm not quite sure where Dr. Ravi Shaw came from, but I'm pretty confident Natalie Luna Rose and Jennifer Ekstrom did not come from a similar grassroots campaign.
Robbie just wants to be loved by the left.
That's all he wants. From the top.
Yeah.
He just wants to be loved.
I'd like to put out there, as we were saying just off the air, Sadie Shaw is running, or she's getting signatures to get on the ballot, running for Ward Alderman in Ward 3, which is Mr. Fimbres' ward.
No, it's Kevin Dahl.
Kevin Dahl's, right. This is,
No, that's better. I got Jesse Lugo running in the Fimbres seat, so.
Democrat, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, either way, let's win this race in the primary, as it's probably going to be won anyway.
So the cool thing about Sadie is that she obviously is not a Grijalva Ekstrom thrall.
No, definitely not.
Right, so that's just refreshing in the first place. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now she is a hard lefty.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say hard actually compared to some people who I know in this town, some of whose names we've already mentioned.
She's a lefty.
Yeah. No, she definitely would identify with being on the left for sure.
Yeah. She's an artist, you know. So I have a soft heart for artists and poets, and that's where she comes from. You know, as a parent who is concerned about art education in the community and. Yeah.
I'm an artist. I can do that thing where you use your hand to draw a turkey at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm pretty badass at that.
Yeah, I could never do that.
You have a hand, Richings?
I think I used the wrong hand.
It's good to hear that Sadie's running in Ward 3.
Yeah.
Right.
And so if there's
Val's
not running this time around.
No, Dahl.
Oh, Dahl. No, oh, Dahl's definitely running.
Yeah. Oh, he is definitely running.
Yeah, so we need to get out the vote.
There's three people who I'm aware have their statements of intent filed. So there's Sadie, there's Kevin Dahl, the incumbent, who's going to be running again for the same seat, and then a woman named Alma Gordon.
Okay.
And I don't really know anything about Alma Gordon, but all three of them are Democrats.
The only way this works is a one-on-one with Dahl. If there's two of them running against Dahl, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, no one can control that. But we do want to definitely get behind Sadie. She needs signatures. If anyone wants to give her a hand with that, we recommend that they try to reach out to her and volunteer because I think she needs like close to 400 in the next 2.5 weeks, something like that.
Okay.
So,
I'd love to get her on soon and talk about
she's
why
she's been a great voice of reason on TUSD board, as we've discussed before.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And one of the, speaking of climate, the movie, which will be in two Thursdays, March 27th, Sadie had, you know, that killer quote that we shared with you previously on air concerning the $900 million climate plan that Dr. Ravi and the other two Democrats pushed through with a vote of 3-2. Right? Was it $900 million, I think, the estimate? Could be like around $900 million. Might be a little less, a little more.
She was verging on a billion.
She's very concerned about these climate issues. But as she said after Dr. Ravi pontificated about poor black children in Africa and ice caps melting, she said, if I thought that Tucson could help these poor black kids in Africa and stop the ice melt, I'd vote for this thing. But $900 million in Tucson is quite a lot of money. Let's get a football field at what's the high school? Yeah, Pueblo High School. Let's, fix the pipes, et cetera, here in Tucson.
Yeah. So all right. Well, that's good. I'm glad that she's running.
Like good voice
my rant earlier in the show is with the citywide elections the way they are,
mm-hmm.
the only way you're going to win this is with a D that's a reasonable D.
Yeah.
That's the way the game's played right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly who we just described.
Yeah. So all right. We're going to go to break. What's a non-announcement that we're going to talk about when we come back?
I want to celebrate Prop 414 getting shot down, and then we can go from there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Libertarians dancing on the grave of 414 when we come back. If you want to get in on the conversation, 520-771-5101. Hit us in the live chat or chris@ltdmedia.net. All right. Welcome back to the Live the Dream Media Network. I did find my dinger, so we're ready to go. I should have burned it. There we go. It's back. I feel like it needs a new battery. That was a week. Thank you. Thanks to Amalta, Joe, and Shay for all their work they're doing in the control room today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're hanging out with Ken and Peter from the Pima County Libertarian Party.
The Power Hour.
It is the Power Hour. Coming up on Thursday the 20th, they have some lady who's going to sell you some solar, how to get a lower electrical prices, and then Climate the Movie on the 27th.
March 27th. Chris will be there.
Which is going to be hot.
At least in spirit.
Absolutely. Now, dance. I tease everyone. We're going to dance on the grave of 414. So Peter Norquist,
yeah,
give me Peter's reflections on 414 going down.
I am just extremely happy that it did. I was going to be really surprised if it didn't, because I have never talked to a single person who is going to vote yes. I'm wondering who those people are out there, actually, because this is one of those initiatives where, you know, speaking of the political spectrum, it had some pretty big opposition on both the left and right sides and everywhere in between. And so we've been working with some other local Republicans here,
yep,
to get messaging out, try to get signs out, door hangers and so on, and explain to people why they don't want to vote for this enormous tax hike that would bring Tucson into the number one spot for, was it all of Arizona, maybe?
All I think of Arizona, that's right, 9.2% out the door.
Yeah, and create a slush fund with very ill-defined categories and actual wording in the proposition itself that the money can be redirected at will, basically. So why would anyone want to vote for that? No one should. And the news came out. I saw it first, actually, from the Tucson Sentinel, of all places, come up that there was basically a 70 to 30 margin in no to yes in the initial returns. I think they estimated like tabulation is going to finish on Thursday.
Yeah.
But they did enough last night where they hit that point of no return, where no matter what happens after that, like, the result's not going to change.
Yeah, well, what's out there, and it's a 70-30 split right now.
Right.
That's a whip.
Yeah, I want to see it go to 80-20.
Amen.
Yeah. And if this thing went through somehow, I would have really suspected that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry that we don't get to do that investigation, but I'm not sorry that we don't have to spend any more energy than we already have on this, and that it's done for now.
Equally offensive to many groups.
Yeah.
This thing, right? So there were a lot of Democrats. That's why this thing really was a whooping, right? Mm-hmm. The Democrats, a lot of Democrats came out against this.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? The Republicans, I think, showed up maybe a little better than maybe anyone thought they would.
Right.
Right? The business community found their huevos a mm-hmm. little bit. Not all of them, but a little bit. Right?
Right.
So that's all good. I also noticed that what's really amazing now, you're starting to see the turn against the city on anything on social media.
Yeah.
They can do, Regina Romero could do a post saying, oh, there's a bird in a tree at Reed Park. And there's 100 comments that say, you suck.
Slammed.
It doesn't have to be political anymore.
Right.
The hate against her in the city right now is growing.
Right.
And that's why maybe having these reasonable Democrats like a Sadie and a Jesse running
uh-huh.
might have their best shot ever.
I really hope so.
In a long time.
Because, yeah, I'm concerned about the recorder's office as a choke point.
Yeah.
We've been concerned for a while because of some of the stuff that we've seen that indicates there may be more going on there than meets the eye.
And how dare you question a stunningly brave Native American indigenous woman, Peter Norquist.
And her offsite contractor working from his home with the voter database in the cloud.
The guy with his servers in his garage up in Finisterre.
Yeah, yeah. Thelios, for anyone who doesn't know the official name of that corporation.
It's in a nice neighborhood in the foothills.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, yeah. And there's just all sorts of dodgy stuff going on there. So I, if there's ever an opportunity to break that cycle, because I think there's a real fox guarding the hen house situation going on there, I think that a lot could probably be uncovered if someone was able to get in and look more at the goings-on of the recorder's office. I'm worried way more about them than elections.
I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they were a train wreck in the last election.
Right.
And they haven't shown that they're getting better.
No.
Right? You say, oh, wait, we're on a new system and blah, blah, blah. They got worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They think they got worse.
But speaking of the way things could get better or not, one of the things we want to talk about in the next couple of segments probably is some stuff on artificial intelligence, which everyone's been hearing about, right?
I just saw a, it was a good meme where it was like whatever product some company was offering, but it wasn't even had anything to do with technology, but it's like, oh, but it's AI.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Every company has to use AI now with their
right. Well,
the AI cupcake.
Well, and this is seeping into the mainstream in ways just like you're describing that are kind of disturbing, because people are kind of being conditioned to believe that AI is going to be a helper to humanity, that is going to make everything more efficient, you know, it's going to run better, and they're not talking about the numerous problems that come along with implementing AI. So to launch on that, do we want to talk about TOSD to get started? Because we want to talk about this on a few different levels.
One thing on AI that I always say every time this comes up, is when they say it's going to save you time. Mm-hmm. We've heard it a zillion times. My thing is, we're not teaching anyone how to. What are you doing with your save time? That's always my question.
All right, yeah. All right. Very valid.
Right, what are you doing? Yeah. So this thing, the Skynet, is saving you time. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
You're going to go binge some more crap on TV? What are you doing?
Well, that's a very valid question, actually, because I think that some of the people who are deploying the AI are actually kind of counting on that being exactly the case.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They're not doing anything more fruitful with their time.
Right.
I'd rather have them doing their job and figuring it out and, you know, because I think, to me, it homogenizes imagination when it comes to writing.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that, you know, trying at the human mind as it keeps trying to figure things out and be creative, and you fail and you get better, right?
Right.
That's where the real innovative stuff comes
up. Especially at a young age.
Right.
So to their credit, at the TUSD meeting that we went to last month, I think it was the 11th, the first one in February, they spoke about this, you know, trying to. So TUSD, it seems like they're trying to limit or restrict the ability of kids in school on TUSD-owned machines to use generative AI in ways like you just described. So they're trying to limit the ability to have whatever AI service just write your paper for you.
Our friend Ed at Desert Rose Tax, everyone wants to use AI, but they're forgetting how to use their non-artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Their own brain.
And speaking of Sadie, this is one of the points she called out during this discussion, to her credit, is the fact that this can begin to stunt the creative and intellectual abilities of students because they stop using those faculties. And the more you stop using them, the more they're going to atrophy. And as you get older, the harder it is to actually build that neural infrastructure.
Right.
When you've got a machine doing all your thinking for you, right?
So it's amazing how fast we got to this point now.
I know. Yeah. Almost as if it were planned. There's one topic in particular we wanted to look at today that kind of illustrates this at multiple levels in our government. And so that is AI in healthcare. And one final thing to say about TUSD before we start looking at some of the higher levels is, besides what we talked about with this whole new AI module that they're wanting to deploy into TUSD, is something that they voted on, you know, maybe 8 months ago, was consolidating all of the health records and making them electronic and dumping them into a centralized database for all of the students. And, you know, the reasoning behind this is it's supposed to make everything more efficient. It's supposed to make things more streamlined, more accessible. But anytime that you consolidate and dump into a database, that right now has AI usage written all over it. So, excuse me, one of the things that we're a little bit concerned about, moving up to the next level, the state level. So David Schweikert has this bill in called the what's the informal name for this, Ken?
I didn't write it down.
Okay, so basically this is a bill that he's got that's going to, if it passes, it's going to allow artificial intelligence to prescribe medicine and other things.
Oh, we'll have to bring this up with David on Thursday.
Yeah, no, please ask him about this. Because this is his third attempt to introduce this legislation. He started back in 2021. And he's done two initial attempts in 21 and 23 that failed, fortunately, from our point of view.
Yeah.
But now he's got a new one in 25. He just introduced it at the beginning of January.
Okay.
And so, you know, we see all sorts of things.
So basically, give me a layman's summary here.
Yeah, so AI, whatever, you know, that means specifically, would be able legally to prescribe medication. So it would function as a doctor or nurse practitioner as far as prescribing whatever they're prescribing. As long as it has been verified or authorized by FDA and by the state in which it's happening. So the state of Arizona, for example.
Yeah.
Now, so, I don't like any of this AI in relation to you talking about how TUSD wants to bundle all the kids' health.
Right.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm. Good. That should be the natural reaction from everyone. Should be.
Yeah. I hate it. Now, the thing about doctors... Well, see, with the AI, they're still going to have to know your health stuff. So there's no win here. Because the doctors aren't much better than AI themselves. Mm-hmm. But it opens
one
up.
One could argue.
Right? Yeah. But, yeah. But it opens up.
It opens up some problems that wouldn't be there if we were doing things the way they've always been done right now, despite all of the flaws that come with them.
Right.
And so I just looked this up. So the name that this bill is going by is the Healthy Technology Act of 2025. And I can read the text. It's only one sentence. It's not long. So the way it reads is to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act to clarify that artificial intelligence and machine learning technologies can qualify as a practitioner eligible to prescribe drugs if authorized by the state involved and approved, cleared, or authorized by the Food and Drug Administration and for other purposes. And it's that purposes. Last little clause right there that actually makes me more nervous than almost anything else in here except the AI itself.
Right.
Because when you throw in and for other purposes, what could that potentially mean? That's a huge gap. You know?
I will.
Yeah.
When you just email me the text of that whatever, so I have it when I talk to him tomorrow.
Tomorrow, great.
So he's talked about a company. I think it's in his area of the world in Arizona, mm-hmm. where they developed a piece of technology that looked like a kazoo.
Okay,
and you're sick.
Right.
Right. So you blow into the kazoo.
Uh huh.
And it can identify whatever respiratory virus. Thing that's bothering you.
Okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Then literally Wi-Fi's to your Walgreens to prescribe whatever you should be antibiotic or whatever that you can get without having to go to a doctor.
Right.
So I don't know. I remember him talking about that. So yeah. I kind of feel like he's trying to fulfill whatever what that looks like.
Uh-huh.
But having that open-ended crap on the back end is... scary.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Because my mind goes straight to shots, right? And all the problems we've had with the COVID shots, keeping in mind the new mRNA technology that's in the pipeline, you know, there's 500 new mRNA shots that are going through the approval process right now. Yeah, we've only had to deal with one. It's, you know, one basic kind that's made by a few different companies, but just one. And now we're jumping ahead to 500 all of a sudden.
Now with Stargate, we're going to be having AI inform us before anybody else can tell that we have this condition that would require an mRNA shot.
Yeah, the Stargate Project.
Well, I specifically didn't say Project Stargate or Stargate Project because I forget which one it is.
Stargate Project.
Yeah, it's not Project Stargate.
It's not the James Spader film, so tell me what...
It's not the Men Who Stare at Goats.
Give me the Stargate Project.
It's as Trump, I think it was day two, announced $500 billion of our dollars going towards...
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit last time.
And so AI will know precisely before anybody else can detect it, you've got some medical condition that would require an mRNA shot. And, you know, it's very easy to imagine that condition might be contagious and you might be a danger to other people, and you're getting that shot would be required for us to live in a just world.
So we're getting we're pulling out of World Health Organization, but we're doing that.
Actually, we haven't even pulled out of the WHO.
Yeah.
That was a bait and switch, because when Trump did that, the way that he did it nullified the withdrawal, because what he did is he delegated the withdrawal to the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio.
Right.
The same thing that he did in his first term with Mike Pompeo. But the way that the rules work, if you're going to withdraw, it has to be the head of state that withdraws personally.
Gotcha.
Just by simply sending a letter, that's all they have to do. But by delegating to any other person, it nullifies the withdrawal. And so I think that was probably done purposefully. You know, he's got a team of lawyers who can tell him what's what. But I think this was done for show to make people think that he was keeping a promise or doing what people wanted to in the health area. But actually, it did not do that. And now it's gone down the memory hole. No one's keeping track of are we still in the WHO or not. But, yeah, we are.
Well, so Taylor Davidson and I were having lunch a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And he had a good point. He's like, you know, Trump didn't start three tires fires. He started 2,000.
Uh-huh.
And it's just hard to keep track of all the things that are going on.
It is.
So that's why things like you're talking about get swept underneath the rug, because one, they're kind of boring to talk about, right, in relation to all the other things. Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're supposed to do.
We can make sure they're not boring.
No. Donald Trump is very good at making big and bold statements in various ways that moves the conversation.
Correct. So tell me about AI in relation to, are you 100% anti-AI at all? What are the proper uses of AI in your guys' mind?
So, you know, it's kind of like the gun question. You've heard people say, you know, guns don't kill people, people kill people, right?
Yep.
So guns are amoral.
Right.
By definition, it depends completely on who's using them and for what reason.
Sure.
I would say the same about artificial intelligence. And having said that, I would say that I'm just generally opposed across the board because I don't see it being held by anyone who I really trust.
Well, again, anyone who's going to use AI in a big manner.
Right.
Right. We have, I don't know about 100, at least the last 100 years to show us that men and women can't handle it.
Right.
In a responsible manner. Is that fair? Is that, Ken? Is that a fair?
Are you saying that men and women cannot handle
the concept of AI and using it in a responsible manner?
Well, I think most of us are not really sure of what's even going on. You know,
right.
Like how many people actually can get underneath the hood and decipher how it operates. I have a friend who insists that we should continue to be our highest, best selves in the digital world, because that is going to affect whatever AI superorganism is growing by, you know, crawling all of the online digital space. So if we promote, you know, peace, justice, love, understanding in an organic, humane kind of way, hopefully that would promote that in AI.
But, oh my God, faith, family, schools.
Right, yeah, and in the online digital space, right, so to promote that. But like I just said, who knows what's really going on underneath the hood of AI? Like Musk doesn't even know, you know?
Yeah, and because I know we're probably coming to a close soon on this segment, so one other thing I want to make sure to include before we get too far from this is going up to the federal level. So we've talked about David Schweikert's bill at the state level. Now, federal level.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go laterally then
and stay at the
federal level. Okay, for some reason I thought it was state, so I appreciate the correction.
Yeah.
So RFK Jr.
Yes.
You know, he's taken some heat lately for a couple of different things that have happened that he's put his name on. One of the things that people are a little bit less aware of, because there's been a lot of talk about the measles vaccination issue.
Right.
But in his confirmation hearings, one of the things that RFK said, speaking of Trump, is that President Trump has asked him to basically mobilize AI in the health field. And the way that he discussed this was, in rural America, we're hemorrhaging practitioners. So we're losing them faster than we can repopulate the field. And so the answer to this is, instead of trying to train people to refill those positions, we're going to just deploy AI into the medical field so that they can start doing the job instead. And he talked about how the previous day he had been introduced to an artificial intelligence nurse practitioner. And he said you could not tell the difference between the AI nurse and a human nurse. And, you know, that could probably be true descriptively, but it makes me really concerned because I'm seeing this as a huge push. And speaking of the Stargate project, you know, both David Schweikert's bill and what RFK is describing actually fit in really nicely with the Stargate project.
So here's a question for you. Our medical records as they are now are not accessible by the federal government. I mean,
are you stating
that's a
that
question.
Or
Are they not accessible by the federal government right now?
So I think it's a mixed bag. I think that there are probably some that are, but there are some that are not. And
so the real problem is that by enabling AI in such a big way in the medical field, you're literally whatever doubt we may have about the federal government and having access to all of our medical information is now obliterated.
Exactly. Yeah. And this goes back to TUSD and consolidating those records, because I would guess that prior to consolidation, the federal government probably didn't have some of that information. Post-consolidation, it's going to.
And the more consolidated it is, the more able, federal government or one single entity has to gain access to it. Like TMC, I remember somewhere during last few COVID years, COVID money was sent to Mr. Heinz's TMC to consolidate medical records.
All right, hold that thought. We're going to do one more commercial break, and then we're going to have a short segment before we come back. And we got to end the show before Clint and Dave come on with Local Marana. So you're on the Live the Dream Media Network. Time's going fast, guys.
Yes, it is.
So you're on Wake Up on the Live the Dream Media Network. All right, welcome back to Live the Dream Media Network. Christopher D. Simone, we're waking you up. Tomorrow is a very busy show. We have Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols is going to be videoing in from Yuma, talking about what life's like with him now at his border, but also they're becoming the spaceport of Southern Arizona, not Tucson. Sorry, Zach. Congressman Schweikert, we'll talk about this bill that our libertarian friends brought up. Officer Jamie Voss and Detective Nate Foster from TPD. Jamie was the officer that wrote that amazingly thoughtful but real 2 to 3 page memo to the city council about how Rahina and the city council are screwing up public safety. He is coming on the show tomorrow at 7:30. First time ever. Should be great. And then Shelley Kice in the third hour. And then we have Vince Leach, state senator, and Blacktop Grill over on Thornydale and Cortero coming up for our Food Friday. So please join us. We're hanging out. We got a few minutes with Ken and Peter from the Libertarian Party. They got a solar lady coming up on the 20th at their meeting. Sorry, guys. You opened that door for me. And then Climate the Movie coming up on the 27th.
Yeah.
So Malta Joe, let's bring up that video the boys sent me today. Yeah. This is about Donald Trump. This was released by the White House.
Donald Trump posted this on his Truth Social account about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So speaking of AI, just a little bit of pretext here. This is an AI-generated video. There's no reason to think that anyone officially connected to Trump actually created this, but somehow came across his virtual desk, and he decided that was important for the whole world to see this. So it's got his official brand on it. And everyone I ask has never heard of this. I think it's important that people see this.
Let's play it. All right, Malta Joe, let's do it, bud. Scottish accent. Holy crap. Peter, did you like the video?
You know, I can honestly say that I have no words. I just have no words.
Hold on. A speechless libertarian? Speechless. Mark the tape.
Not for long, but it is happening.
He's had time to ruminate.
When I first saw this, I was really shocked for all the reasons that you can probably think.
Well,
right?
Give me some reasons. We're a talk show.
There's been three or four things since the Trump administration came into office officially that have really, really concerned me. So we've already mentioned the Stargate project. DOGE is another one, and we're going to have to maybe get to that next month.
Right.
And then there's the whole plan to annex Gaza. And what this really... Gosh, where to begin? So this is based on that annexation plan, right?
Yes.
Where Netanyahu visited the Oval Office and did kind of a joint presentation with...
So it's the flippancy of the video? Is that the number one thing that bothers you?
It's partly the flippancy, partly the imagery. So, like, one of the things that everyone sort of, like, says something about, or they let out a little gasp just like you did when we were watching it.
The gold statue of Trump.
Jesus. Right there in the middle of the city. You know, I think that's pretty blatant.
Yeah.
And if you're wanting to craft a good brand, I don't see how that's a good idea.
Agreed.
To put that out there.
If Joe Biden did a video that showed him with a big giant statue of him anywhere,
he'd be getting crucified.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where you can't just be doing team sport politics and try to look the other way because it's your guy. You know, that is really weird. There was a scene right before that where, like, there's a huge gold head. It looks like it's kind of like a balloon or something.
Right.
And so, you know, anyone who's got, like, a biblical background, you know, there's some things here that are sort of setting off some alarm bells there a little bit. What that makes me think of is in the book of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar has his dream of the statue in four parts. So you've got the gold head, the silver, the bronze, and then the iron mixed with clay, you know, in the lower legs and the feet. That gold head right there, you know, maybe just a coincidence, but combined with that gold statue.
Yeah, for Trump to share the video was...
I think that was a really poor move, because if it would have been just some guys in their garage jerking around and doing this, it would have been one thing.
Again, if Joe Biden did a video like this that showed himself doing a statue anywhere, holy hell.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. I love what you guys do. I love our conversations.
Yeah,
we'll like do it again. Chris, thanks.
And let's do Doge next. I'd love to do Doge next month.
Doge.
Let's do it.
That'd be great. So, you guys have a great day. How do they find out more about libertarian stuff? Peter Norquist. He's going to cough it out like a... He's got a kennel cough here. What do you got?
So... so our...
PimaLP.org.
PimaLP.org.
No dashes, no geocities. PimaLP.org.
Podcast.
And then you can check into Libertarian-Minded Podcast.
Awesome.
Look it up.
I love it. All right. You guys, Peter, feel better.
Thanks, Chris. He's already having withrawals. He knows we're leaving. It's going to be a month. He's withdrawing already.
This could have happened at a worse time.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, Chris.
Anytime.
Thank you.
The Trump effect.
Hopefully, Peter will be back next month. He's still doing it. I'm making him laugh. That's the problem. Local Miranda's coming up with Clint and Dave on the Live the Dream Media Network.